Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to 40K Lorecast with me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
Today, we're continuing our coverage of the most confusing Legion of all, Alpha Legion,
what?
Because let's just try to figure out of what maybe happened, sort of, but then totally didn't happen, but also maybe did happen, Cast. All right, 40K Lorecast, weekly show focused on the lore of the Warhammer 40K universe, releasing every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Please thank you for all of the comments. So if you haven't done it, please give us a comment. If you have done it, thank you for it. Also, all the follows, you guys, it's incredible seeing it all, seeing our ranking making us better. We have a list of links in the show notes. They'll take you to our YouTube channel. You can see our bi-monthly Q&As, along with some of our other kind of mess-around projects. It's also a link to our History of 40K, the other show we have, which now we're covering 8th edition. You guys should check it out. It is pretty epic. And you want to support us? We have links to our merchandise. Some of it actually is really nice looking, and it is quality. But also our Patreon. We do have a Patreon. If you sign up for our Patreon, you get this show and the History of 40K ad-free. It's only $4.99 a month, or 7,289.83 Rwandan francs. We're going to do Rwanda today, guys. Rwanda is it's a really special country. Central Africa, exceptionally clean, mostly because they've got a number of environmental friendly actions the country took. For example, the last Saturday of every month, everyone goes outside and cleans up. Simple concept, guys, just clean up. They also have had a plastic bag ban since 2008, that in 2019, they expanded to plastic water bottles, which is wild. Leaving their country really, really clean and not having all the garbage pile up that you see in most other countries, not just in Africa, but kind of every single country. Rwanda is visually stunning too. Rolling hills of forests, which are almost, well, it's like jungle meets forest. And if you like wildlife and you have larger balls than I do, to be honest, you can go into those jungles and see mountain gorillas on foot. You can walk in on foot into the habitat of a 8-foot-tall, 400-pound or 2.7-meter, 190-kilogram for all you non-colonials, and just look at it in person, which is probably cool.
Hard pass.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's something you do wearing brown pants just to be safe.
So much hard pass.
Is it the going up the hill or the fact that the grill is two Brads?
I just don't like hanging out with people that go, I may or may not kill you today and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, definitely high on that list of good God. Also in our links, you'll find our Discord. Again, well, we love our Discord. It is an amazing place. It's super fun. I was in there before the cast, actually, just commenting on a few things with some people. Really great place to, you know, leave Brad and I notes, but more importantly, meet other like-minded individuals. We've grown this thing and it continues to grow. It's really a community more than anything else, designed to be a place for people to interact who like Warhammer lore, who like Warhammer, and especially a great place. The most important thing for Brad and I, it's a place for people who are newer to Warhammer to go and learn more about it and get advice without getting flamed. That's my biggest hatred of most of the Warhammer places is you go there and you just get ripped into for asking a newbie question. Nothing wrong with that. And because I haven't pissed anyone off in a while, it's totally free. And every Discord should be totally free. No one should be charging for Discord. Discord doesn't charge you. Why would you charge someone for Discord? Anyway. But makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. Like, it's okay. Make a profit of something you paid for. All right. But let's get into it. Let's get where we left off. So we left off. Alpharius and Omegon were given a choice of basically the future of humanity. Defeat Horus.
From the Cabal.
Yeah, from the Cabal. And over many millennia, humanity would feed chaos until it grew enough to consume the galaxy and kill everything. Or aid Horus and burn the galaxy down, like thereby starving the chaos gods and killing them. I think they meant this to come off like we're doing a controlled burn to prevent a future wildfire. Except the controlled burn they're describing is a cataclysmic wildfire that kills anything and everything. So you're just doing the wildfire. But it's a planned wildfire. It's like everything's on fire, but it's okay because I set the fire.
I love a lot of the cabal, but these two choices are just so stupid because they're both awful.
Like, yeah. And
chaos kills everybody you know, or everybody you know guy gets killed anyways. What?
Like, yeah, I'll be honest. I'm not a big fan of the cabal. Like, I know, I think the cabal, well, let me put it this way. I think the cabal are really awesome until the GW started actually diving in and writing the cabal, in which case they became really crappy. Because what's the thing in Star Wars that I hate, Brad? The Mericlorians? What the hell is that stupid thing?
Mericlorians.
Yeah, where they explained the Force and ruined it. That's what the Cabal is. The Cabal should have been secret shadow organization. Are they good? Are they bad? That's all you say about them. But then they gave John Grammaticus a whole bunch of novels, and I just read it and I go, this sucks. These people suck. No. So anyway. Let's get back into what we're supposed to be covering today.
He still will forever be John Irenicus to me, but continue.
There we go. All right. So depending on the source, literally whichever book you're reading, and really on you, there's a few ways to interpret what happens after the meeting with the Cabal. Some people feel that Altharius and Omegon took different sides.
This guy.
Yeah, Brad is one of them. One of them thinks kill the emperor, burn it all down was the right thing. And the other one going, hey, maybe don't do that. Other people, and I think this is more where I am, feel that they made their own plan. Their idea was we're going to aid Horus a little bit, but we're going to also weaken him enough so he doesn't really succeed. And then we're also going to weaken the emperor to prevent him from driving humanity off a cliff. I think that the actual outcome of the Horus Heresy is exactly what Alpha Legion was trying to achieve, my opinion. And then others feel that they were all in on Horus. Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of times they did have a lot of attacks in Imperium, but they also had a bunch of, hey, look, you should fortify this place. And or they didn't finish people a la the White Scars and just things of that nature where they were helping the Imperium out.
Exactly. So that's my thing. And then the last group, there are people who were like, no, they actually were full. They're full blown chaos. And the only reason the Alpha Legion didn't succeed is because they were just suffering the standard bad guy fate of clutching defeat from the jaws of victory. Or on the tabletop, we call that a John. Brad doesn't like that I do this a lot, but I'm good at it. I'm very, very good at losing in the last round.
You definitely snatched defeat from the
turn five. Turn five is a good place. If the game's close, don't worry. Turn five, John's not very good. Now, the cool thing is it's impossible to know the truth here, and not just because none of this is real. I mean, we're doing a cast about something that's completely made up.
Still
and fake.
Gets me fired up.
Oh, it does. I mean, we're breaking, I don't know, are we breaking a fifth wall, an 11th wall when we talk about this? There's, but whatever.
There's too many walls.
It's fine. Yeah. All right. Kool-Aid, man. But, but it's more because GW intentionally obfuscates this. And it's awesome. I stand by Alpha Legion writing is some of the best work GW's done. It is purposely obfuscated. It allows you to have genuine debates with your friends about, are they this? Are they that? And I love it. And it's fantastic, unless you're wrong, in which case, why are you so wrong? So what makes the next part of the history of the Alpha Legion fun, though, this whole thing we're talking about, is because they have twin Primarchs. For example, we know Altharius was in charge and Omegon was the second, but we don't know, is it captain versus lieutenant? Which, by the way, how do you guys pronounce it that way? How do you go with lieutenant? Or is the twins relation more like a healthy relationship where it's more like a good couple where they just like, yeah, we just come to terms with this, but all right, one of you is primary signature. So that's Altharius, go. You can be the first signature on it. And that little piece right there actually determines almost everything else here, because the question in the heresy is, well, are they at odds with each other? If they're at odds with each other, how does the Legion respond to them? Or are they not at odds with each other and they're just pretending to be odds with each other? This whole thing is wild, what we're going to get into here. So
also, they pretend to be each other. So, yeah.
Yeah. While not getting along, this thing is loopy. So Let's get into one thing that actually we're going to go back in time a little bit here and talk more about their ability to infiltrate anything and everyone. We talked about this last week a little bit, but we need to dive in because it's going to come up a lot more in today's cast. It is critical in what's going to happen throughout the heresy. The Alpha Legion are not sneaky. They don't hide in the shadows and move under the cover of darkness. They basically shapeshift. Their apothecaries do facial reconstruction, allowing them to resemble anyone. And I can
Mission Impossible.
It's not Mission Impossible. It's Face Off. Let's do a better movie. Let's do Face Off.
Wow.
A movie that, and watch this. You've seen it, haven't you?
More than once.
Oh, God. That I knew it. Because Face Off is one of those movies that I don't think anyone has actually seen, but we're all aware of. But a couple times you and I have had conversations where you've like, oh, no, no, that colossal piece of garbage that was obviously a waste of time. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I watched that. Yep. So, yeah, Brad has seen Face Off.
It's so bad.
Yeah. It looked, the advertisement for it was like, so here's two actors who I don't really like in movies to start with, pretending to be each other and going way over the top with it. Yeah. And it's not a comedy. No.
And their face, their skin graft faces change their entire body structure and everything else. But continue.
It's not a good movie.
No, it is not.
No, it is not. Ugh. Did you also see Broken Arrow?
I did. It was better.
No, you know what? That's what we do. Okay. We'll announce them, guys. The next Q&A, we're going to pull up all of the movies from, oh God, what is his name? Nick Cage. Let's pick every Nick Cage movie and see how many Brad has seen.
I'm a movie psycho. So you're going to go, wow, that guy. If you don't sleep, you can get a lot done.
Yeah. Ghost Rider 2. Yeah, this is not going to go well. All right. That's anyway. Let's get back into this. So the real thing here is that the Alpha Legion actually do facial reconstruction on their own legionnaires, allowing them to get to infiltrate. We also believe, a lot of us think, that they can change their physical appearance because they do infiltrate humans. And part of the infiltration is also, so they're changing their voice, they're changing their face, they're changing their mannerisms. They also do research, so they're able to pretend to be. Yeah.
They do a wild amount of research on what the person knows and everything else, because they get deep in. They are what the CIA wishes they could do, because they get real deep into governments and start actually changing things that happen.
Well, they are. They're the movie version of the super secret agency that doesn't actually exist. Yeah. That's what they are. And one thing that we didn't talk about last week, because I was kind of saving it for this week, is doing a little, hey, theory on how. So my theory on Alpha Legion is I think they're a legion of clones. I think that, and this is because all legions resemble the Primarchs, as we've discussed, but these guys, it's a bit more. It's Raven Guard all get the black eyes, the Salamanders get the same skin tone, Bladers get blonde hair. But the Alpha Legion go a bit further. Like, they can almost all be mistaken for their Primarch. They're
popping out like cookie cutters of Alpharius.
Yeah. And my theory on them is coming back from the Votan cast. So when we did the Votan cast, we talked about the kin. And the kin are all clones. But it's not the same clone. There's different clones, but it's effectively the Votan themselves, when they make the kin, have a set of cookie cutters, for lack of a better phrase, and they just stamp them out, right? That's what I think this is. I think the Emperor found some cloning technology from the Golden Age and is using it to create archetypes. And the 20th Legion are an archetype. And this allowed him to create this Legion. And the reason I believe this is, first off, you know, this would make the ability of the apothecaries to change the appearance of the Alpha Legion much easier, because if your base bone structure and all those things is the same, it's a lot easier to sculpt off of. You know, like anyone who's at any level of art, it's easier if your base is identical.
Talk about the logistics on it is we originally had possibly a tiny amount of Alpha Legion, and then all of a sudden they were everywhere in the galaxy without also having a home world to draw upon. So, you went huge amounts of numbers out of nowhere.
Yeah, we don't know how many there even were, but you could assume over 50,000 during the heresy, possibly pushing to 100,000, given some of the size of the fleets and how far they spread. They were massive, and yeah, where did that come from?
Multiple places.
Yeah. And they never, and more importantly, they never conquered a world. That's the thing. Like, at least World Eaters, they would come through. Yeah, they killed a lot of people, and Night Lords. They would just, but they would still, you know, much like the, even Carcharodons, there's a red tide. They would come through and they'd collect. Where did the Alpha Legion get these recruits from? It just makes sense to me. I think they're all clones. Now,
we're going to get flamed.
No, whatever. It's, honestly, I'm happy to get flamed this one. I can be wrong on this one, and maybe it's written. Maybe there is a recruiting role, and I'm just not aware of it. But it'd be embarrassing if it was like on the front page of Lexicanum, and I just missed it. Oops. Anyway, but the reason that we're talking about this is because in the lead up to the outbreak of the heresies, this comes up a lot. So the Legion's official recognition is the Ragdan Genocides, sort of, kind of. But that's the first time they really enter in as Yeah, we didn't have Alpharius yet, but that was the first time that the 20th Legion became known. This does exist. But they don't take part in the Great Crusade with the campaigns of everybody else. Instead, they disappeared into the darkness of the galaxy, oftentimes joining actually rogue traders and exploratory fleets to get out there and get ahead. And this is also one of the reasons why it's hard to tell how many of them there are, because there's no like fleet going places doing stuff. Were there a few thousand at the outset? Were there tens of thousands at the outset? We don't know. And the truth is too, we also need to know where they were until we have hindsight, because the Alpha Legion weren't reporting back where they were. Though what happened was the Imperium, as the Great Crusade just pushed further and further out, they just kept getting lucky. For lack of a better phrase, they'd come across like a solar empire chocked full of golden age of technology. And right before they arrived, everyone in charge died. Or they would get to this area where it was going to be a Xeno empire. One of the planets, the power supply just exploded. This is what was going on. And when you look at the grand scale of the Great Crusade, individual fleets just don't notice that. Oh, hey, we got lucky this time. Whatever. It's not till you sit back and go, hey, how did this like happen every time? Like almost every time. So it's kind of going great. Except back on Terra, there's an issue with the 20th Legion. And this is basically the concept is the whole, hey, send the 20th Legion out in the blackness of space thing seemed like a really good idea on paper. They're masters of infiltration and subterfuge. They're going out there. They're paving the way for the armies of humanity. And they're doing, you know, the A-plus plan. Problem is, you also lost track of them. So it's like playing at the shell game with a P inside of it, and you got distracted and looked away. Whoopsie. You have no idea where the Alpha Legion are. You have shape-shifting Astartes. All you know is they left. They blend in perfectly, even with humans, and you have no idea where they are. And the people back on Terra start realizing that it's entirely possible this Legion may have hitched rides back. They may be back on Terra with us. And then, oh, by the way, Alpharius has just shown up. And Alpharius wasn't a big fan of anyone in the rulers of Terra. And they weren't big fans of him either. And by the way, when I say the rulers of Terra, I don't mean the lords of Terra, because we all hate them anyway. People of actual value, like the head of the Imperial military, the head of the administratum, people who actually did good things for the Imperium, not captain, but I am a noble. Like these are people who actually mattered. And
he did get, as per the great communicator, they gave a ton of just, hey, go do this. And you're like, how and what? Go make the galaxy better. That's pretty general, man. How are we going to do this? Yeah. Well, it could be we just take over and we kill you. Like, you don't know what they decided upon that. Yeah.
But and also, if you're like attached, for example, to the Great Crusade in some way back on Terra, and you keep seeing that, hey, this 20th Legion are really good at murdering heads of state. It's kind of what their master's at. And murdering heads of state by having the heads of state's best friend murder them. And you recently made a new friend. It's pretty scary. Like, oh God.
It's not even it's not even just that.
Yeah.
The head of state gets murdered by his new friend who also made him get into a Ponzi scheme, and all of a sudden all your money and influence took off too. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That's so everyone's, they're basically creating paranoia back on Terra. And the line in one of the books is effectively, they realize they may have opened a Pandora's box with the 20th Legion. Even Malkador admits at one point, it's possible they've lost control of the 20th Legion. And this is during the Great Crusade. Now, the funnier part is all of the Primarchs have their quirks, obviously, but they all at least somewhat listen to orders. Alpharius is a weird one in this one, too, because he's not directly insubordinate, but his methods and tactics just leave a lot of questions. Everything's open to interpretation.
They talk about it in some of the books and stuff, in the fact that he's, at the time, wildly full-on on the Emperor's teachings, but it's more like, I was told the Emperor's teachings, and then I interpreted them in my own way and decided I'm doing that.
Like Conrad, for example, Conrad Kurz, complete psychopath. I don't think he would have, if given a chance, he would have struck the Emperor. I don't. I think he loved the Emperor. Angron would have hit the Emperor. Mortarion would have hit the Emperor. A couple of them would have. But even up until the heresy, a lot of these guys were fiercely loyal to the Emperor, not Mortarion. not Mortarion. Lehman, even the ones who had their issues, they had tempers, they had these things. Alpharius, to Brad's point, he was loyal to the Emperor's teachings. And in some ways, I think what ends up happening, his viewpoint is the Emperor would want this. And he could convince himself that the Emperor would want me to kill the Emperor. That's something he would come to terms with and go, guess I'm snuffing the Emperor or Malkador or anybody. So he gets a little bit, the Alpha Legion become a little bit more nervous. So they decide that the best thing to do about them is just kind of send them away. And they push him out even further and further into the galaxy, saying, all right, why don't you guys go all the way out into the galaxy and do your infiltration out there? Now, fun part about this, you know who else was happy to see them go? The other legions. And this is because...
don't like them at all.
Yeah, the other legions had the same problem because the other legions were also having the same issue.
Pull it back a little bit. We'll go into it more when we get into the heresy, but like the other legions weren't super cool with the fact that they consistently got infiltrated by the Alpha Legion.
Well, yeah, this is more funny than anything else. So we haven't covered Night Lords yet, but we've covered World Eaters. And World Eaters is probably the worst ones of this, but actually Dark Angels in this category too. Space Wolves, sorry guys. But sometimes being next to them would increase your casualties. Because they're barbaric in the way they would fight. So you didn't really want, it's like, I got to serve next to the world leaders. All right, give them some space. They might take a few of you with them, right? But the Alpha Legion, they might manipulate you. Because the whole thing is, remember, the Alpha Legion's whole concept is we're going to set together this massive crescendo of events that are going to lead to all these pieces of play, right? In order to do that, they actually need the other legions to do certain things. So, yeah, they were infiltrating other Space Marine Legions leadership in order to make them
the regular.
Yeah, in order to make them move ships and troops to get the target of the Alpha Legion's assault to then move their troops to then make the plan Alpha Legion has work. That's not something the other Primarchs thought was cool. Like, D minus F, no F. Full F. We are failing grade. Bad. Bad. Like, the other legions really hated this. To the point where the Thousand Suns straight up just avoided Alpha Legion. They wouldn't even be around them. The Space Wolves? Nope. Gilliman and Dorne tried to get them thrown out of the Imperium. Conrad Kurz was like, these guys make me uncomfortable. Like,
I'm jumping way ahead, but one of my favorites is still right after we really got the heresy going on and the Dryside massacre and everything. And the Alpha Legion had infiltrated the Raven Guard and then finally And Horus was like, yeah, the Alpha Legion's on our side. And then went, hey, Abaddon, figure out if there's any Alpha Legion around here.
Yeah.
Kill our Legion and kill. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're going to get to that story. That story's hilarious, by the way.
But it's just like those kind of things have happened kind of a lot. You're like, oh, we're so happy to be your ally. Hey, man, if you find anybody that's them, murder them instantaneously.
Yeah. All right. So the only Primarch. Literally the only Primarch who liked the Alpha Legion, who wasn't in the Alpha Legion, was Horus. And because he saw in them a style and potential that was unique among the armies. And I do want to pause here and give GW a ton of credit here, because I spend a lot of time shitting on GW writing and how they'll just reuse the same stories over and over again. Everyone is the best at the same thing.
100%.
Completely unique. What they gave Alpha Legion, no one else has. And it really is awesome. Ironically, I think that the White Scars might also be in this category, but then the GW gave up on them, so it's not my fault. No one else does what the White Scars do, but then, you know, they stopped doing it in M31. But now let's get into the heresy beginning. Alpharius, I'm going to use one name here. It's Alpharius, and oh my God, it's easier for me to say Alpharius. By the way, I should mention that every time Alpharius meets with anybody, I always envision Alpharius's meeting, and then there's like a 7-foot dude hiding behind a pillar, eavesdropping behind it, but everyone can see him. So all the Primarchs, the Astartes, every dude in the ship sees it, but they just play along with it because they feel bad for the two of them. I know that's 100% wrong, but I just would love that to be the case. Of everyone's like, did you know they're twins? Yeah, of course they're twins. He's gigantic. He's right there. Like, you mean, by the way, Alpharius looks pretty damn unique. Yeah, the two of them, we can see two tall, bald dudes. They stand out. Like, whatever. Fine, but I digress. All right. Alpharius is not there for the events of the Serpent Lodge, but due to his long relationship with Horus, he was very receptive to meeting with him. I mean, he pledged his legion's loyalty to the cause of the traitors. Or did he?
Yeah. Let's talk. Everybody that's part of the Dropside Massacre, it would want to talk about their long-term plans.
I was going to say, yeah. If his thing was, I'm pledging my loyalty to Horus, but I'm not really doing it, the Salamanders, Iron Hands, and Raven Guard would like to have a word with, like, hey, man, there's Donnie Brasco shit, and then there's this, you know?
Yeah, man. We all died, man. Yeah. You're like, it's part of the plan, bro.
It's okay, man. I had to infiltrate them. Dude, like, use a blank. You know, it actually is rumored that Alpharius may have even been the designer behind Istvan V, because the Alpha Legion are pretty deceitful. And so the Alpha Legion were not
just a little bit like,
yeah. Now, the story of Istvan's interesting, though, because of that. So if you think about the situation of Istvan V, so Istvan III has occurred. We now know Horus is a traitor. Rogue Uldorn finds out about this and says, OK, we're going to go put down the traitors. And he orders, I have to get some people over there to kill them. So who are we going to call? Now, Rogel does not like Alpharius. So the interesting thing is, why did he call up the Alpha Legion and say, hey, I need you to go fight Horus? Because on paper, seems kind of risky.
He got so duped in this.
Yeah.
Because Dorne just thinks that for whatever reason, also didn't fact check very much. Yeah, I'm assuming his fact checkers were other Alpha Legion sitting there waiting.
I mean, honestly, probably.
Because Dorne says, hey, I don't think that the Alpha Legion's had any contact with Horus because of the fact that they've been sent all the way over here.
Well, the timing on it is hilarious because the events of Istvan III happen. Alpha Legion have been in dark space, and right afterwards, Alpha Legion just happens purely by chance to return into the Imperium space and go, oh, hey, fellow Imperium, what's been going on? We just got back from a long journey.
We have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, total communication blackout. Has there been any fun news recently? And Dorne goes, well, thank God you guys are here. I could really use some help. Because I like Dorne, but sometimes Dorne's adult in this situation. Now, he does get some revenge later. I will be honest. It's going to be in our next cast, but he does get pretty sweet revenge on this one. But Dorne says, perfect. I need you guys here. Go to Istvan. I need you to put down the Horus Rebellion. And Alpharius and the Legion go, no problem, bro. We're on it. Oopsies. Now, the question, there's a lot of questions about how this all really happened and all those pieces went together. But no matter the cause behind the traitors' behavior of Alpha, they were very much so on the side of the traitors of Istvan. It's possible they had ulterior motives, but they slaughtered. Yeah.
I think that they have a really warped view. They're like the villain that makes sense, but also is horrible at the same time, where you're like,
yeah,
your methods are horrific, which they are. The Alpha Legion do a bunch of jacked up stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel that they think they're doing them to right the ship, or at least make it so the ship doesn't completely sink.
I think, again, and I'll say it here and I'll say it again, I think the Alpha Legion view themselves as the custodians of the galaxy. Not the custodes, but the custodians of the galaxy. They are trying to shape the galaxy and move the galaxy in certain ways to achieve an end. Are they correct? I don't know. You know, are they doing a good job? I don't know. But I believe their motivations are uniquely their own. And I think to themselves, they are positive. They're just chaotic.
We'll be right back after a quick break. I can tell you all from experience that starting something new isn't just hard, it's terrifying. You put in a ton of effort and time and the whole time wonder, is anyone actually going to like this or care? When we started the 40K Lorecast, it was super overwhelming. And when you're starting off something new, it always seems like that your to-do list just keeps on growing. Finding the right tool that not only helps you out, but also simplifies everything can be a game changer. And for millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. With Shopify, starting your own business is easy. Shopify can help you with things like getting started with your own design studio. With hundreds of ready-to-use templates, Shopify helps you build and create online stores that match your brand style. Getting the word out like you have a marketing team behind you. Easily creating email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. One of the better pieces to me is, what if you get stuck? Shopify's always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. It can also help you tackle a lot of the important tasks all in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. No need to use multiple websites to try and figure out what platform is hosting the tool that you need. Everything's in one place, making your life easier and your business operations a lot smoother. Start your business today with the industry's best business partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/lore. Go to shopify.com/lore. That's shopify.com/lore. Fun story on Istvan 5 that occurs, because Alpha Legion is going to Alpha Legion. For no stated purpose at the time, no reason, the Alpha Legion decide that after slaughtering Istvan 5, this is a really good time to infiltrate the Raven Guard. So they go
with the Raven Guard legitimately in full retreat.
Yeah, the Raven Guard are on Istvan 5 running away from the World Eaters at Angron, who is trying to personally pull their limbs off of their bodies. Yeah. And the Alpha Legion and their apothecaries collect, I don't know, a dozen, we don't know, a group of dead Raven Guard. And then perform ASAP surgery on a bunch of Alpha Legion to make them look like these dead ones, put their armor on them. And my favorite part is they then, you know, they know where the Raven Guard are. They'll tell the World Eaters. They just go join the Raven Guard. Oh, yeah. Steve Buscemi style. Hello, like, fellow Raven Guard. Are you also running from the World Eaters?
Yeah. And it's so crazy because you're like, why, if you're trying to actually kill them, you know, hey, we joined Chaos and we're doing this, they could have easily ended them, but they don't.
Yeah, I mean, they were standing,
out what's going on.
Yeah, standing next to Korax. They could have killed Korax right then and there, and they were like, nah, we'll help out. That's what they did, and they joined it. And I also want to point out, Korax didn't detect them. And that's going to come up about, if we talk about how good these guys were in infiltration. They were sitting next to Korax, and Korax went, oh yeah, this is one of mine. Anyway, so why did they do it? Well, it kind of pays off, for lack of a better phrase. Due to the devastation of Istvan 5, the Raven Guard effectively don't exist anymore. Korax goes back to his home world of Deliverance. Terrible name, by the way. And just terrible name. The problem that they have is that in order to really get your gene seed going again, you have to harvest it from the dead Legionnaires. Well, they're all on Istvan 5, and he's on Deliverance. So that's not possible. So the only way to actually grow the Legion would be to almost farm it out of Korax. You can do it's very out of the Primarchs, it's a little bit quick, but out of the actual Legionnaires, it's incredibly slow. So it could be millennia before the Raven Guard get back to full strength, or they could have called the Carcharodons. They chose not to do that. So we're in this process. Korax, though, doesn't want to wait. He wants to go kill the traitors. So we get the dumbest story. It's cool, whatever. Korax goes and meets with the Emperor and says,
he rocks to the Emperor's like, hey, I need to beat up this. We took a huge loss. This is bullshit. I need my Legion to be back. I need to be able to use the original lab to jumpstart, you know, to get the Marines going the way that you printed out the Marines originally. And the Emperor's like, yeah, sure, man. I got other stuff to do. And I'm a bad communicator and a bad English dad. So do what you got to do. Here's the keys to one of my secret labs.
The whole thing's weird, though, because the Emperor, he treats us like an old man with former hobbies, where he does a hobby for a little bit, then he gets bored of it and then boxes it up and puts it in the corner. I'll get to that later. By the way, if you're a person who does this, you never get to it later. You never do. Just get rid of it. It's just something people have to clean out later.
So his lab is a country-sized lab that he forgot, but just doesn't use anymore.
Well, and he Kevin McCarthy'd the damn thing, so it's booby-trapped all over the place. Oh, good God. Was it the Wet Bandits? Is that what the Korax went in there as? You know?
Hey, man. Could have given me some of the codes and or told me there was traps.
Yeah.
None of these things happen.
Yeah. Also, want to point out, so this thing's been sitting there the whole time, which he could have just utilized to remake the gene seed and get it going. Emperor's children almost became extinct because they ran out of gene seed. Salamanders almost became extinct because they ran out of gene seed. Dark angels almost became extinct because they ran out of gene seed. Dude, he was just sitting there? Oh, he is the worst. Anyway.
Again, he was making hundreds of thousands of these from this lab and went, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I got some stuff.
Like this entire story, by the way, it's successful. Korax goes in there, gets it, they're fighting his way through all stuff. It just, the entire story is a giant WTF. When you read the whole thing, and it's one of you read the book, like, oh, that was kind of a cool story. And then you'll be making a sandwich for yourself later going like, wait, what the hell just happened? Hold up.
The more we talk about it, the more I do kind of think that the Emperor is Rick from Rick and Morty. But continue.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, God. Oh, that's a good animation. That's a really good animation. I'm just saying that right now. Oh, God.
Psychically powered Rick.
I'm just... Sanguinius! Sanguinius, I'm a pickle! Anyway, all right. So, Korax brings the gene seed back to Deliverance and gives it to his apothecary to start working on. All right, so we're gonna make a new gene seed. We're going to remake our Legion, yada, yada.
I'm sorry. Pause on this. I cannot state how dumb this is. They had a lab, a giant lab.
Nope.
When I say giant, it's not double basement.
They have to make it more complicated. Nope, yes, has to be more complicated.
He left with it instead of just going, hey, I could just push the button and they would just start T-shirt gunning out Marines.
Like, nope. We have to add more work. And so the Alpha Legion, who have infiltrated the Raven Guard, do the Vizini switcheroo, because you know that I would know that you would know. And so they do that little maneuver. They wait for the Raven Guard apothecary's work to basically perfect the gene seed for implantation. While doing so, they brought more Alpha Legion to the planet who'd been infiltrating the populace of Deliverance. And all of a sudden, all of Deliverance goes into an absolute civil war. And every time I say Deliverance, that stupid banjo plays in my brain, by the way. Every freaking time. It's driving me insane. Anyway, this is why one of the reasons we haven't done a Raven Guard cast is it's just going to be annoying to say Deliverance that many times. But we'll do it. We'll do one, guys. Don't worry. But this sends the entire planet into rebellion, causing havoc and confusion everywhere. This allows the infiltrated Astartes to grab the pure gene seed, make a copy of it, and then take the original and poison it with like a warp poison. They then leave with it, and the rebellion's put down. Everything is quote unquote back to normal. And the Raven Guard use the gene seed and discover it mutates all the Astartes into monsters that Korax has to go and kill. Or does he? Because you don't have to. If you want to make your Raven Guard Raptors, it's super cool and you should. Just saying. But the Alpha Legion, though, are not done yet. They just wrecked the chances of the Raven Guard ever aiding in the defense of Terra. But what about the traitors? So they tell Horus about this cool thing they did. Hey, we infiltrated these guys, posed as them. Their Primarch didn't notice, and we stole their gene seed. To which Horus is like, hey, that's awesome. Holy God. Yeah, I'm so happy you did that. Good God, good God. But if you could give that gene seed to Fabius Bile, that'd be great, because he's going to make a bunch of more Chaos guys for us. Well, I guess there's more traitor guys for us. And Alpha Legion say, no problem. And they happily hand Fabius Bile an even more corrupted version of the gene seed than they gave to Raven Guard.
Wildly useless.
Yeah, I mean, at a point where like the gene seed was just a middle finger. That's effectively what they gave him. Like, hey, good luck with this. And to the point where, like, and this story, then you're like, well, what is the Alpha Legion trying to do? I guess this is, again, goes to back to my theory. The only person who benefited from any of this was Alpha Legion. The Raven Guard got screwed. The traitors got screwed. But Alpha Legion do have almost the Primaris gene seed at this stage for Primaris Marines. The funnier part, though, well, two pieces of this. The first one is after this, because I think the Cabal were the ones who tipped them off this being a potential thing. Omegon goes and meets with the Cabal and tells them, yeah, you guys can go pound sand, effectively. We're done with you. Nope, we're doing. We've got our own plan.
Yeah, which is a good stand, because he goes, yeah, your plan also sucks, because yeah, both of your plans are horrendous.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why people think that Alpharius and Omegon were not aligned, though, because Omegon met with him, not Alpharius. Maybe Alpharius wanted to prevent it. This whole story is tricky, because it's did Alpharius.
That's why I still think that the twins are at odds with what they're trying to do.
You're right. I'm telling the story more from my perspective. The other perspective is that Alpharius was the one behind the stealing of it and poisoning the Raven Guard. But then Omegon poisoned the one that was going to Fabius Bile. And so in effect, what you're seeing is it's not an actual plan coming together, A-team style. It's actually the inverse. It's actually two very nefarious characters, more spy versus spy, constantly undermining the other one's plan. And then everyone around them just kind of going, they basically negate each other. So they end up becoming almost a non-entity. And that also lines up with some stuff we'll get to in a minute. But there's one more story around this whole Raven Guard infiltration that Brad hinted to earlier.
I was saying, I jumped the gun a little bit. It's fine, but it's
still hilarious. So Horus didn't know about this infiltration of the Raven Guard after Istvan V. And when he found out, he was pretty calm and collected with Alpharius. Oh, that's great. Yeah, give the gene seed over there. And to Brad's point, immediately calls Abaddon in and goes, listen, anyone in the Sons of Horus, even remotely, you don't remember, kill them. It's just, I don't care. They're dead. Like, you kill every single person here who you, if you think he's not Ted, he dies today. Yeah, and Abaddon went, all right.
I was saying, it was the Don. So he was like, yeah, cool. I was going to kill some people anyways.
Yeah. But it was because, to be fair, Horus was scared, because this was a question of, hey, if these guys can infiltrate and stand next to a Primarch, because that's the whole thing. It's one thing if you could infiltrate and stand next to Abaddon, that's doable. This is, again, Horus Heresy Abaddon. He's still just an Astartes. He's not that powerful. But a Primarch's a whole different level, and they do have psychic powers. That's scary. Anyway, but let's get to the meat of the heresy. So
let's talk about what happened right after that, because Horus is like, yeah, I got to get this done. We got to get the soul. We need to make our lightning strike. We're splitting the galaxy, but I don't know if I can do a long term. We've already talked about that in multiple casts from the Horus Heresy and things of that nature. But Horus is not sure about what's going on with the Alpha Legion and wants them to be useful, because he has to be with his resources, but also wants them the hell away from him.
Yep. So the first thing Horace does is he sends them out to go and basically do a disinformation campaign. Horace knows that the Imperium is going to turn their marketing machine on hard and tell everyone Horace is traitor, Horace bad, do all these things, right? Horace had to get there first. So what he does is he sends the Alpha Legion out to kind of ferment dissent amongst people and drive them to his cause. And the idea was to have Alpha Legion infiltrate a lot of key worlds, Hive worlds, Forge worlds, etc., and sow seeds of discontent within the value of being part of the Imperium, mostly targeting worlds that were brought into compliance against their will. So not ultramarine worlds that were brought into compliance, world eater worlds. Possibly, well, it wouldn't be word bearer, but, you know, space wolves. Sorry, guys. But people who they would have broken the back of the world to bring them into compliance. And then saying to them, look, are you really with the Emperor? Because doesn't being the Imperium kind of suck? And the goal they had was to either flip them to Horus or at least move them to neutral. This would thereby starve the Imperium and hold them back. This is a task, Alpha Legion, A+. This is exactly what we love to do.
But we were going to do this anyways, man. Yeah. All right.
It's actually possible. We were kind of already doing that. Oh, yeah. Oh, that. Yeah. It's going to look like we're really successful out the gate. It's not because we've been doing it for the last 50 years. Sorry. But the next thing they have to do is Horace also still looking for allies. And one of the ideas Horace had was the White Scars. I don't know why he thought Khan would be anti-emperor. No one does, but Horace thought they would be. And the White Scars had been out in a system called Chondax. This is close to Ulanor, so we actually don't know where it is, but we know it's on the right side of the galaxy somewhere. And the White Scars had been left out.
Did you mean to say the east of the galaxy, John?
Anyone, just find me the magnetic north and I'm happy to follow it. Yeah. Just do me a favor. Go up to the International Space Station, pull out your trusty compass and let me know which way it points. But White Scars are out on Chondax. They're actually still on cleanup from the Ulanor campaign. So they're hunting down orcs out there and they're doing a good job of it. White Scars actually do have a good history of hunting down orcs. Inside the system, there's a Necron pylon on one of the asteroids in the system. The Alpha Legion had infiltrated this asteroid and taken control of the pylon.
I was to say, they're also just using the pylon like they knew how to use it from the beginning.
Yeah, of course. That's just, by the way,
communication.
They don't really
go into that. Like, how are you working the pylon? You just are.
Yeah, we infiltrated the pylon. Duh, Brad.
I didn't know that MacGyver was one of the Alpha Legion. Makes more sense, but yes.
It does, actually. Yeah, for being honest. Check. MacGyver and Darkman. But that's a side note for another very good movie. So the Alpha Legion uses probably to turn off all communication. So the White Scars there are no communication coming in or out to them, which notably didn't really concern them that much. And so I read that to believe that communication blackouts at this era were commonplace in the galaxy, which would actually make some sense. We're still newish. We're getting pretty far out there. But this is another area where the question is, were Alpha and Omegon in conflict? We don't know. This is the...
I still totally think so, because this is one of the biggest stories that says it, because the Alpha Legion basically calls out the other Alpha Legion for giving information to the White Scars at this point in time.
Yeah, I think it's a ruse, but let's get into the story. So there's a message that's trying to get out. So at this point, there's a message from Dorne that's going to every single member of the Imperium saying... Yeah, exactly. Horus is a traitor. Get back to Terra. We need you to support. Horus is coming to kill the Emperor. Now, that message can't get to the White Scars because of this pylon on the asteroid. The Alpha Legion, out of nowhere, claim that the other Alpha Legion manning the pylon are actually leaking information to the White Scars in the Chondax system. Information about the goings-on of the heresy. So they then attack the Alpha Legion and destroy the pylon, which removes the communication blackout, which immediately allows Dorne's message to come through, telling the White Scars everything about the heresy. So it's not the most complex of betrayal plans. I will be honest. My theory on this is I think that they're not in conflict here. I think they did this in case Horace asked, what the F were you doing here? And they're like, oh, no, they were telling them. So we had no choice because they were going to give away troop positions.
Oh, all right. Give troop positions. What yeah. the hell? The Alpha Legion just shows up with this gigantic fleet.
Yeah, this part is cool. So the White Scars get the message and go, yeah, back to Terra. And they start moving towards Terra. Out of nowhere, this giant Alpha Legion fleet appears in the system, blocking all the Mournival points. Okay, so now they can't get out of system because they're being blocked. But there's no engagement. And so the White Scars start sending messages like, hey, man, can you get out of the way? And Alpha Legion don't respond back. But the Alpha Legion begin moving closer and closer, almost in a menacing sense. They're not powering up weapons, but they're getting closer and closer. So the Khan is left with a kind of a difficult choice. He knows there's a rebellion going on, but he doesn't really necessarily know who's on what side. And it's entirely possible, this is an issue the Khan has, that the Alpha Legion are here to make sure he's not a traitor. So he doesn't want to shoot at them.
I was say, also, they're not shooting at him.
Exactly.
They don't shoot at him the whole time.
And so he's concerned that if I start shooting at these guys, they might be here to make sure I'm not a traitor. And I'm not a traitor. So as a traitor, I shouldn't shoot at them. Yeah.
Also, their fleet's so much bigger than his, but continue.
Yeah. So the Alpha Legion get closer and closer. And now we cover this in the Horus Heresy cast, but we haven't talked about White Scars in a while because much like we're like GW. Sorry, I'm not letting that joke go. The White Scars' superpower is they can make all their vehicles do super moves. Attack bikes, rollerblades, unicycles, land speeders, spaceships, whatever. They can
Tokyo drifting it.
They can do anything. So Khan has a plan. So he enacts a feint where his ships begin to kind of drift aimlessly as the Alpha Legion get closer and closer. But the Alpha Legion, as they get closer, they're not as good ship managers or whatever, as ship captains, as the White Scars. There's a small gap appears between them. In an instant, all the White Scars ships turn, engines full, and blast through that gap.
Yeah,
and go right through the gap. The Alpha Legion do shoot at them at this point, by the way, and they leave the galaxy. Now, again, lots of debate as to what this was. Some people think this is Omegon, that this Altharius had nothing to do with this. Altharius was the one who put the guys on the asteroid to keep the White Scars out. Omegon's the one leading this fleet who comes in there, and Omegon's basically trying to juice up the White Scars so they get back to Terra. Other people think that, like me, think that, no, this was a plan by both of them. The idea was, we're going to put them in a communications blackout because we don't want Horus knowing that we're secretly not with him. But in reality, we actually aren't with him. So we had to kind of, the same goal. We got to get the White Scars back to Terra because otherwise Horus will win. Anyway, we also don't even know who was in charge. Ugh, it's Alpha Legion. Now, what jacks up my plan and makes it my theory, and makes Brad theory more accurate, is the next thing that happens. Because
one side of the Alpha Legion legitimately funneled the White Scars back to Terra and got them going. The other side of the Alpha Legion, let's talk about why they have a little hatred, because not a lot of Primarchs were super cool with Altharius in the first place, but they kind of grumbled and just went, I don't want to do work for him. However, they weren't doing podcasts like Lehman Russ was doing, talking about, hey, here's the people I don't like.
Yeah.
Altharius. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh, how many people are listening? Everyone? Cool. Don't care. I hate this guy. I think he's a skeezy bastard.
Well, that's because I laughed. You called it a podcast. We have a podcast. People can choose to listen to this. Lehman Russ went on like global network and hit, like, transmit to all. Hey, here's all the people I don't like. Altharius. And also, and all the space wolves were like, us too. They were putting up billboards on planets that they put up like, the Alpha Legion sucks. So anyway, the Alpha Legion do not like the space wolves. The space wolves are out on Chondax. They've just finished the devastation of Prospero. Out of nowhere, this massive Alpha Legion fleet appears. And unlike the White Scars scenario, where they appeared and were kind of, hey, what's going on? No, they should have attacked. They appear and attack a spaceball
straight
fleet.
Up yeah. attack
that is not ready for them in any way, sure, because they're still, I mean, yes, they won on Prospero, but they took a lot of damage. It was not an easy battle, and they're still licking their wounds. So this goes pretty bad out the gate. Russ sends out a distress call saying, hey, someone help me, I'm under attack. And he gets the world's worst reply first, where it's the White Scars and Khan appear.
Screw you, Khan, because Russ sends, you know, I'm leaning into my space moves here for a second. Yeah. Russ sends out a distress call, and Khan goes, yeah, man, I heard there's a civil war going on, and I don't know who's who. And Russ is like, come on, man. Yeah,
it's me. like it's Alpha Legion is shooting at me. Who do you think's the traitor? Like, and like, objectively, who would be the traitor here? And Khan's like, yeah, I just can't figure this one out. It's way too complicated. And just leaves. And I want to point out, this is my one major gripe on Russ. He never punches Khan for this. Russ gets back to Terra at the end. The Emperor is in the Golden Throne. They're all doing their thing. Why didn't Russ walk over and just not kill him, but just knock him down with a solid, hey, man, I told you I was a loyalist. Thanks, asshole. You know,
Bob, courtesy of Captain Insano.
Jesus. Like, what? All right. But the Alpha Legion start whittling down the Space Wolf fleet. And in this weird moment of actual weakness, Russ isolates himself in his own personal chamber because he just becomes sullen and depressed because he's accepting that him and his Legion are about to die. And then victory from the jaws of defeat, because while the Khan heard the distress call and went, not my problem, the Lion heard it and went, I'm sorry, someone needs an ass kicking?
Yeah,
I'm on my way.
Strapping on his boots, a mighty ass kicking. Yeah. There's some rebellion going on.
Oh, and I like this more because it's like almost a cartoon, because you've got this small Space Wolf fleet, then gets this big Alpha Legion fleet up here that starts beating it up. And then this even larger Dark Angel fleet appears and goes, yeah, all of you are about to get your asses kicked. And the Alpha Legion, to their credit, see the Dark Angels and go, nope.
Smoke.
Yeah, bye. Nope. Not even trying. We're gone. So they're out. Now, the last thing I want to cover today is not Pluto. We're going to start next week with Pluto. The last thing I want to cover is one other key moment with the Primarch Alpharius. This is with the Shattered Legion, because this, again, begs a question of what was going on with these guys. So there's a group of leftover Astartes called the Shattered Legions. And
I know you love this dude's name, so I'm going to let you hit it.
No, this is, Shadrach Medusan. Oh, that's a fun one. He's one of them. So the Shattered Legions refers to a collection of Astartes who'd survived Istvan V. It's not, some of them actually weren't even on Istvan V. Some are just leftover remnants of just busted legions. It's a collection of them. But they're loyalist members. And also, I think there might have been some loyalist members of traitor legions too. It's a big mess of rando dudes. But the biggest group is Iron Hands. That was one of the biggest chunks of the Shattered Legions. And the Shadow Legions have some really cool stories during the heresy. Some, they basically were like, look, we're going to get our pound of flesh. You guys might have shot us in the back. Cool. Watch this. All we're going to do is try to make the traitors' lives miserable. Even doing just full-blown suicide missions, but going, I'm going to die, but I'm taking 10 of you with me. Watch this. And they're kind of cool. Now, at one point, though, their leader, Shadrach Medusan, it becomes incapacitated. We don't know how, but he is, and is replaced by Alpharius. Why? Because Alpharius knew about the Shattered Legions, and the Shattered Legions were like the inverse of what is current Red Corsairs. The Red Corsairs saying, hey, do you not have a place in the galaxy? Come join the Chaos Pirates. And the Shattered Legion was saying, hey, do you still like the Emperor and everyone you're related to doesn't? Yeah, come on over here. Yeah, come on over here. Alpharius was aware that there were members of the Alpha Legion that fell into that category. So effectively disloyal members of his legion to him. So he infiltrates and takes, in effect, control of the Shattered Legion and uses them to hunt down members of his own legion who are no longer loyal to him, which begs a fun question. How not loyal to them, to him, were they loyal to Omegon, or were they not loyal to either of them? This we don't know. Was it even Alpharius? Was it Omegon who did it?
Imagine being a their legion at this point, because you have no idea who you're, what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, it's a wild story. So this this is what kind of one of the last actions that they do before we get to what is the creation of the Hydra. And that's what I want to get to next week, because we mentioned this before on our last cast, that the logo of the Alpha Legion is a Hydra, but they're really, they're not a Hydra at the, up until what's about to be next week. They're about to become.
You also get cool names in the, really soon, like Harrow Masters.
Yeah. Oh, the Alpha Legion about to explode. Because up until this point, the Alpha Legion are still, they're a goofy Legion, but they're still somewhat similar to other Legions. In the events we're going to do next week, they become this whole different thing. And it's really wild and really cool. So next week, we're going to get into the invasion of Sol. I'll call it out. The potential death of Alpharius and Omegon. They both die.
They both maybe, die.
Maybe, sort of. Someone, let's put it, both, someone who resembles each of them dies.
Got a bleed. Not he just died. Got a
bleed. Oh, God. Yeah. Dorne has an opinion.
Dorne should have, his weapon should be called hatred and anger. So he was not. Please.
Yeah, Dorne. But that's where so next week we're going to open up with the invasion of Sol, and we're going to take them, the Alpha Legion, up through more modern 40K. So super excited for that. We'll see you all then. But John Barsotti, Brad Chester,
this guy.
See you guys next week.